And let's just get right into the word. You know, there was a rather unknown singer back on October 24th of 1963 that recorded a song. And the lyrics to that song went, "Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown. And accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If it is your time to you worth saving, then you better start swimming, or you'll sink like a stone, for the times, they are a-changin'." And that's going to be the title of tonight's message, is The Times They Are a-Changin'. You know, 26 years ago, there was a gentleman by the name of Joel Castone, and I'm going to use the word gentleman in a very nondescript manner, because this man, who is now 44 years old, 26 years ago, in a Washington, D.C. parking lot, he murdered an 18-year-old boy. The thing that I wanted to bring up is that, in case you have not heard the news the last few weeks, he is now Washington, D.C.'s newest elected official. He is an advisory neighborhood commissioner, and he is serving from jail, has an office set up in the jail, and is doing his duties by Zoom meetings. So, yep, times are changing, all right. Then you better start swimming, or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changin'. People of God, it's time to sink or swim. And I've got some great news to keep us afloat. And before we do that, I just want to say thank you, because my role in the church, in addition to pastoring the Salt and Light group, is secretary treasurer. So I'm the guy that gets to steward the finances that come in, and I just thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving. Just remember, when the church is closed, the work still goes on, so please do keep your gifts coming. We have our live service on Sunday. We certainly hope that you'll be joining us then, but you can always drop the offering by the office during the week. You can mail it in. We also have a terrifically easy text giving option now, which you can just text GIVE to 559-272-3800. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together to share your word, Father, to be edified by what your scripture teaches us, Lord. It is so easy to hear your voice, Father. All we have to do is open up our Bibles and read, because, Lord, you have given us so much wisdom there. And we just thank you, Father, for this group that is with us tonight, for those that will be watching it afterwards, for those who are unable to watch, Lord. We just ask you that you would just bless each and every one, Father. And we just declare that we are receptive and ready to hear your word. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' holy name. You know, there's so many assaults that are going on with the enemy right now. You know, probably the biggest news that you cannot turn on the TV or pick up a newspaper or a magazine without hearing something about COVID. COVID is a tremendously contagious disease. It has wreaked havoc, not only in America, but across the entire world. But you know, I'm going to throw something else in here, and this is a bonus. This doesn't have anything to do with tonight's teaching. But you know, there are two deadly viruses that the enemy has released upon this planet, and neither one of them are COVID. One of them is religion, and that is where we think that we know our own way to God. There are people who actually want to believe and say that Jehovah, that the God of Islam, Buddha, are all the same, and you can get to God in so many different ways. That's a lie straight from the enemy. The other virus that has been unleashed is materialism, where we think that stuff is more important than our relationship with God. So, like I say, just a freebie. But we also have earthquakes going on. We've got storms. We've got politics. We've got the horrible situation over in Afghanistan. Our health has been attacked. Our finances. We've lost loved ones. I was at just a very beautiful service today. And our hearts and prayers are just with the Burton family. It's just sad whenever we see our saints no longer with us. I never grieve those who are in right standing, who went to heaven. What I do grieve are those who are left behind and the horrible hole that it leaves in our lives. So we love you and we care for you. Times, they are indeed changing. The times have gotten kind of tough. Paul, the apostle who wrote most of the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 12:7, says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." Now, Scripture never defines what that thorn was, and theologians disagree. Some say it was temptation or a chronic eye disease, migraine headaches, a speech disability. Some think that maybe it was a person like Alexander the coppersmith, who Paul in 2 Timothy said had done him a great deal of harm. But you know, I can tell you exactly what it was. It was a hardship. It was a source of real pain for Paul. And God uses the pain in our lives to shape us, to mold us, to take us to higher levels. It's something that the human mind, we have a lot of difficulty understanding. But God promises that He turns all evil into good for those who are called according to His purpose and diligently seek Him. And people of God, that means you. And if you don't think that is what God does, then I would invite you to go back and read the book of Job. We're not going to go into that tonight. Maybe that's another study for a different time, but there's a tremendous amount of wisdom that we can learn in that particular book. Each of us has our thorns. That's part of the fallen human condition. God never promised that it would be easy. In fact, Scripture says exactly the opposite, that it will be difficult, that we are to take up that cross, that we are to bear it. But God is not a respecter of persons. So each and every one of us has that thorn. But since He is also not a respecter of persons, just like Paul, who said three times, "I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." Now, how many times have you prayed? You know, we've prayed for ourselves, for our family, for our loved ones. I know when my precious sister-in-law Helen passed, I was praying so hard for God to spare her as He spared me. But He chose to take her. Doesn't mean that my prayer was not answered. It just means it was not answered in the way that I would have preferred, but I have to defer to God's wisdom. He knows things that I'll never, ever know. So what I have to do is by faith trust whatever His decision is in whatever prayer. But what He does give us, and this is the promise, "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Whenever I was young and stupid, I used to think and try to act like I was a tough guy. And as I've gotten older, I've realized that no matter how tough somebody is, there's always somebody a whole lot tougher. So I've learned to embrace the fact of my weakness. I've learned to embrace that God does not say that He will give us the ability to overcome all things. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We do overcome, and we will always be victorious. But there are times that it will not be us in our strength that does it, but it will be God in His strength that does it. In His grace, He is the one who is going to give us everything that we need. He makes everything beautiful and perfect if we just perceive it as such. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything means everything, all things. In its time is the time in which it exists. So everything that exists at the time that it exists, whether it be a blessing or whether it be a hardship, there's beauty in that. Zig Ziglar said that attitude determines our altitude. A friend of mine used to always say, it's a question of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter. And if we don't mind, it means that we put our faith in God above, that He has everything under control. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 7, 8, and 10, that better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. And you know, as you read that, why were the former days better than this? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. That's a really polite way of saying that's a stupid question. Because history is unfolding exactly as it was prophesied. Life is hard, but when you read the book, you go to the end, we win. It's not an easy finish that we will have, but it is a finish that will end in victory. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever." That's where we're all bound, is to His heavenly kingdom. You know, somebody coined the phrase that, Bible was an acronym for basic instructions before leaving earth. And that's exactly what it is. That is our instruction book. But it doesn't do us any good if we don't adhere to the principles that it's teaching us. And in preparation for that ultimate victory, Revelation 21:5 says, "And He who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also He said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." The words are true, the words are trustworthy. Isaiah 43:19 is really where we're going to be tonight. Says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God says to His people, "Behold." Behold, King James Version, is written 1,326 times. It's a command to pay attention. It's something that we are to fix in our mind. We are to stand in awe and we are to be amazed. God is calling us up, to come up out of the ordinary, to rise above our limits, to see and respond to His hand of preparation and His hand of purpose, to behold what He is doing and what He will continue to do as His kingdom is brought forth here on earth. And brothers and sisters, we are citizens of that kingdom. We are being prepared for that right now. I am doing a new thing. Things that you never imagined or planned or conceived of. Things that are unprecedented, unparalleled. The first of their kind, surpassing all former things. Such a work has never been done in the world as what we are seeing come to pass today. However, when new things come, it means that old things pass away. They disappear. They lose their prominence. They lose their glory, their radiance. You can't live in the past. The old will be gone. The sad part for us as humans with our human mind is that we love the status quo. We like things to be as they were. That was our comfort. That's where nostalgia comes from. Oh, remember how wonderful life was when you were a kid? Well, you know, life really wasn't that wonderful. We have wonderful memories, but we also have a wonderful experience today if we allow ourselves to embrace it. Isaiah 43, 2 and 3 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." New things means new blessings. You're going to experience things that are far beyond what you could have possibly imagined or what you could have possibly expected. I like the way the New Living Translation renders Jeremiah 33:3. It says, "Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come." So give God room to work the new thing in our lives. Don't give your plans to God and say, "God, approve these plans. These are what I think should happen." Give him a blank piece of paper that is your life and let him write his plans on it. Because I guarantee you, his plans are far above what we can possibly dream or imagine. It's amazing the things that are going to happen. So don't pray, "Lord, my will be done." Just surrender. Let God be God. I was talking to Pastor the other day and said, "You know, I am not God, and thank you, Lord, for that. I am so wonderfully blessed that we have a God who loves us, that leads us, that cares for us, that provides for us." He will change your life and your existence into something more meaningful, more purposeful, more useful for you, useful for others. And he'll change your disappointments. He'll change your thinking about yourself, about others, about the world around you. Now, it doesn't mean that things will suddenly get easy. It means that we will comprehend them in a much truer manner when we go through hardships. You can't be the victor if there's not a fight. You can't come through it if you don't go through it. You can't be above unless you're lifted up. And that's what God is doing to us, people. He's lifting us up. Isaiah 43:19 says, "I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, a wilderness is a lonely place. Even the experienced people who travel through it lose their direction. They suffer from heat, from fatigue, from exhaustion, from disorientation. And the terrain and the conditions are not always easy. But God makes a way in the wilderness. Now, I want to make a connection for you. You may have already made this connection, but what is a way? The way is the path, but what did Jesus say? He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." When God is making a path through the wilderness through us, It is made through Jesus Christ. What is a river? A river is water flowing. What is water in Scripture? Water is almost always symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit who will take us through every wilderness and every desert place, will nourish us, will provide for us. There's new possibilities, new potentials. We have a new era, a new time frame. Isaiah 43:20-21 says, "The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise." So he will keep us focused on the goal. He will lead us to where we are to go, and he will refresh us along the way. Where it says the wild beasts will honor me, wild animals perceive, acknowledge, and honor. And if animals without human intelligence can see that, why can't humankind? You know, down at my feet is my dog, Leah, and she and I often have some pretty long, drawn-out conversations. She's pretty wise for a dog. And during one of the conversations we had not too long ago, you know, she let me know that she is absolutely not worried about COVID. She could care less about Joe Biden, AOC, or Tlaib. She refuses to be canceled, and she's not afraid of murder hornets. The only racist trait that she has is at mealtime she will race us to the food dish. That's about it. Now, yes, problems exist, and I'm not going to try to minimize that, but God has promised to do a new thing. So are you ready for the things to change? Do you believe in God's perfect plan? Remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. So stop looking back at the good old days or the way things used to be, because they're not anymore. Where is your vision focused? You cannot drive forward if you are focused on the rearview mirror. You will wreck and crash every time, I guarantee it. Believe in the God of a new thing. And the new thing is going to be revival. It's going to be restoration. The end is going to be greater than the beginning, and the glory of the latter will exceed the glory of the former. Expect God to begin now. It springs forth now. Follow the path that God is making in the wilderness. He's the light into that path. He guides us with the Holy Spirit. Believe in the God of a new beginning, the great I Am, who is always present. He did not declare himself to Moses when Moses asked, "Who shall I say that you are?" He said, "I am," not "I was at one point in time," or "some point in the future I will be." I am. He is a present God for all time. So expect God to work now. As that song said, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times, they are a-changing. Times are indeed changing. God is doing a new thing. Embrace the Holy Spirit. Trust. Be transformed. The Holy Spirit is moving fast in ways we cannot possibly imagine. And people of God, the Olympics just finished. You know, remember Michael Phelps? You are the Michael Phelps of swimmers. The difference is that he collected gold medals. You're collecting gold crowns. And when we get to heaven, we're going to cast those crowns at the feet of our Lord and Savior. So, Father God, we thank you for leading us along your divine path for our lives. Help us expect and embrace the new. Give us wisdom to respond in obedience. We acknowledge and thank you for your rivers of provision. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. There is none greater. Help us, Lord, to trust and to follow in everything that you do. Let us put aside the things that are of the old and embrace the new thing that you are doing, for you are the God of now. Well, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I love each and every one of you, and I hope to see you on Sunday. Good night.